Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. Once again, we have an excellent show today. But before we get going with my interview, I'm going to say hi to Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie.
Eric, Eric's in the music business.
Well, I'm not sure about business. Well, that would imply that money was involved, but I play music. Sure.
Now, you are starting DJing now as well, as well as being a musician?
Yes, that's true.
And tell me your DJ name.
My DJ name is DJ Meow Mix.
Nice. So we'll have to maybe, if possible, find that theme song. But I think I know it by heart.
Everybody knows it.
And I'm not recommending the food either.
Nobody,
by mentioning the name.
It is a very catchy tune.
It is. It is.
I might have to start including that in some of my sets.
I think you should.
Yes.
I think that would be awesome.
I got to say, this is just a one-off thing. That's why I didn't give that much thought to the name. But we'll see. You know, maybe it'll catch on and people will be requesting DJ Meow Mix to do their next event. So.
And do you get inspiration from your cats?
Well, of course, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Right. Who doesn't? Well, what a fine day to take your dog for a walk.
It's, absolutely. Very nice.
What a fine fall day it is here in Seattle in July.
Early spring day we've got here.
Yeah. Well, we have with us in the booth Michelle Nichols, who's a co-founder and director of Animal Hospice and Palliative Care Project, a help project. Is that right?
Animal Hospice, End of Life, and Palliative Care Project.
Excellent. And also the owner of Partners to the Bridge, offering consulting that emotionally supports the family so that they are empowered in the end-of-life decision with their pet. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I'm looking forward to talking with you about, you know, what you offer, what you do, both your business and your organization, which is a resource for people and also in raising awareness and education, because it's not an easy time, you know, when somebody has usually an older dog, although sometimes not the case. Sometimes it's a, you know, young dog that just develops cancer or something like that. And really knowing, you know, do I euthanize? Do I not? You know, just that whole experience is so hard. There's so much emotion that's happening, the grief process that's already started, and how that can really complicate people's ability to make a clear choice as far as what actions to take for their pet. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so much to talk about, and I'm so glad that we are, you know, that you're here today, and that we can learn about what you do and also just kind of bring a voice to this aspect of living with dogs and, you know, cats too. Because it is a big part of it. And for me, losing Chewy almost 2 years ago, which I did talk about, I did a show the week after he died, just talking about my experience. And it's really was one of, if not the most profound experiences I've ever been through so far in my life. Mm. So welcome to the show. So tell us a bit about yourself and about Partners to the Bridge, and then also about AHELP.
Okay. Well, my background is in actually human healthcare, mm-hmm, and counseling, grief counseling specifically. And through personal experiences, as you bring out, mm-hmm, many of us, and we've all had them, lots of them, we all have stories, mm-hmm, that shape our lives. And really, the process of caring for my first boxer, Brody, who had congenital arrhythmias or irregular heartbeats, and caring for him, seeing my girl, another boxer who had the same thing, die suddenly, going through that grief process, and then her son, whom I was able to nurse for years with it, mm-hmm, learning how to feed naturally. Mm-hmm. The raw diet was huge, I think, in helping him to live 10 years. Mm-hmm. And then realizing that I could, look to a different source outside those breeding lines and get dogs in the future that with being educated, mm-hmm. and avoiding those kinds of health conditions. It's all a learning process. Mm-hmm. But really going through nursing and then the death of Brody in February of 2009 really changed the direction of my life. And that was in realizing that this would be my calling, mm-hmm. in end-of-life caregiving for animals and how to help families provide that very, very special time, very memorable, if you can enjoy it, mm-hmm. With them and make those memories, mm-hmm. make a peaceful ending and a pain-free ending, mm-hmm. Then it can be a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm. Something that, I continue to reflect about my experience with Chewy's death. It's been almost 2 years now. And as far as a learning experience and learning about love, and I mean, it's just mm-hmm. a very, very deep experience. And one of the things that in reflecting upon my experience with him was that that love is very powerful, and also, that his death and witnessing his death was so sacred,
mm-hmm.
and part of his life. I mean, death in this country, especially, I mean, we are just so freaked out by it, and mm-hmm. it's so, and I understand why. I mean, it's hard to wrap your brain around, like, well, what? It's like, it's, it's hard to really get it or, kind of be able to really be present and open to mm-hmm. it, because it's so beyond really what we can comprehend. Like, well, what happens? But, Chewy's one of the most important beings that I'll probably ever encounter in that time of my life. I mean, he got me through my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be present to him and to notice what I noticed in hindsight too about his death, but just that it was really such a sacred time, and that I couldn't help but love his death because I loved him so completely,
mm-hmm.
and that it was his time, and that there was a part of me that, just was okay with that because I loved him so unconditionally, mm-hmm. that I had to love that he had cancer, mm-hmm. and that was just the way that things shook out for him.
That's a wonderful thing about our animals, is that they are so present and able to accept what their circumstances and make the most of them. In society, American society especially, we're fighters, and we want to fight we want the cure, the race for the cure, and searching for something that isn't there. Eternal life. We don't want to let go of our best friends. We want to be absolutely there for them every step of the way. And we're in a unique position as dog lovers, cat lovers, to experience it, to love our animals, and then to have to lose them and say goodbye to them several times, mm-hmm. over the course of our lifetimes. And so I personally think that we can change the world as animal lovers. We can show the rest of society how to deal with a loss as profound as this, is the loss of your companion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big, tall order, but
yeah. So what you have a business called Partners to the Bridge, and I know it sounds like it's been a process in finding, in sort of distilling what it is that you're out to do, but that you really provide support for people. So tell us a little bit about your services through mm-hmm. Partners to the Bridge.
Well, first, our goal is to emotionally support the families so they are the ones who are empowered to construct and then carry through with a plan for a memorable and peaceful ending, however that is that they see it,
mm-hmm.
keeping in mind the advice and the expertise of their veterinarians.
Mm-hmm.
and others that who might be able to, you know, influence, that they trust and might be able to influence them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we hope to be, is kind of companioning. I like that word because it means just being there
mm-hmm.
for the family while they go through that process, and maybe having to remind them from time to time, respirations are increased in your dog or cat, and this might be a sign of pain, and let's reevaluate and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But really with partners, our number one goal is to help people construct a plan so things don't happen to them as their animal dies. You know, with veterinary science, we can prolong their lives and get them through, you know, cancer, the first bout of it. You know, sometimes we're, you know, dealing with a dog that's been in remission after many, many years. So, or many, many months, I should say, mm-hmm. and sometimes years.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, we want to help them to envision what that is that they want
mm-hmm.
and help them in the journey to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of problems that are to be solved along the way, and directions that can be taken, decisions to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we hope to do, and emotionally support them in those, in the decisions they make.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Michelle Nichols about her business Partners to the Bridge, and also AHELP, which stands for what? Again?
Animal Hospice, End of Life, and Palliative Care Project.
Excellent. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get. So I love my dog as much as I love you.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com, and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to New Pro Pet Products, we cover the world of animals. This week at Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday, we'll check on all of our regulars, the birds at Mollywood Avian Sanctuary, the wild ones at Sarvey Wildlife Care Center, and the horses at All Breed Equine Rescue. Plus, an exciting announcement from Homeward Pet Adoption Center in Woodinville. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150. Got it? Cool.
Meow, 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 meow
Well done, Eric.
I'm going to put a dance beat behind this.
Nice.
<next time.
laughs> Mix it up a little bit. Well, we are back with Michelle Nichols, who's the co-founder and director of AHELP, which stands for Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project, and also the owner of Partners to the Bridge. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So we're talking about pets end of life and sort of the process leading up to that, whether it be natural death or euthanasia. And every situation is different depending on what the symptoms are, what the diagnosis is, you know, how, as far in the dog's physical well-being, sometimes dogs just sort of go quickly, suddenly. That was my experience, partially my choice, but my experience was finding out sort of suddenly. And then I've also seen dogs really just sort of fade.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that's true for people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough decision, you know, when to euthanize, you know, and I think it's such a hard choice, too, because it's so almost counterintuitive. Like, I want to protect my pet. And so therefore, essentially, you could look at it this way. I'm going to, you know, end their life or mm-hmm. like it was like this is the one of the things on earth that I love the most and that I'm the most protective of.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'm going to make a choice that kills him,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, it, you know, it just emotionally and from a heart perspective, it just doesn't is a very hard and complicated choice. But
mm-hmm.
So we were talking about your business, Partners to the Bridge, consulting, you know, emotionally supporting families so that they're empowered to provide the care and to plan when possible.
Mm-hmm.
To have it be as positive as an experience as possible, because I do think it is a sacred time, end of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have your organization that, which is AHELP, and it's Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project, which promotes awareness and education and resources for people as well. So tell us a little bit about what hospice is, and then how is animal hospice different from human hospice?
There is, there needs to be a good, there's definitely a distinction between the two. And people sometimes are mistaken that animal hospice is equated to natural death.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, we're all familiar with human hospice, and we don't have euthanasia in our toolbox. At least not traditionally.
Not in this country.
So human hospice has really taken charge of the concept of palliative care. And palliative care basically is pain management,
mm-hmm.
which is physical. So any kind of symptoms that involve physical well-being, emotional well-being, spiritual well-being, that all can be encompassed by the term palliative care.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we are so focused on trying to get that out into the spotlight with veterinary hospice,
mm-hmm.
Is because we know that that's going to be promoting quality of life. All those things promote quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And at the point where quality of life cannot be achieved anymore is when we make that decision, as you so astutely point out. It's the hardest one you'll ever have to make,
mm-hmm.
To end your best friend's life.
Mm-hmm.
But when that quality of life has been diminished to the point where, you know, there's no turning back, you can't change it, then that's when euthanasia mm-hmm. should be considered. It's keeping up on that day to day, hour to hour, really, you know, assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what we do with Partners to the Bridge, is mm-hmm. help people to make that assessment. And there are tools that help us to do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard with animals because they can't tell us that they just want to die,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. or that they're ready, or that, you know, we have to really base that off of you know, the information that we get from our vet, from intuition, mm-hmm. and how we know them. And so that's, it can be a very confusing thing. And then the other thing, you know, well, one thing that you said that was important is that it's not about, it's not necessarily about prolonging the life or, more importantly, avoiding death or avoiding euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
It's about quality of life. And if it's there as a possibility, providing that
mm-hmm.
as a way to maybe give people more time,
right,
to adjust to the idea of it or plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a really important distinction, too, because, you know, between the human's emotional needs and the animal's physical needs, and, you know, maybe emotional, too. But, you know, and that I've seen that, I've witnessed that with people that I know, or stories that I've heard from people that I know about people they knew or whatever, that you know, that these animals were just really kept alive
mm-hmm.
when it would be my opinion that they really were ready to go, and that they were being just held on to for the person's emotional mm-hmm. needs. And I think that that's a really important thing that your services, both with Partners to the Bridge and A-Help, can sort of help the person get to where they need to be emotionally so that they can make the decision
mm-hmm.
that's in the animal's best interest, clearly,
mm-hmm.
and be able to distinguish, okay, well, these are my feelings about it, and I don't want my pet to suffer.
Right. Because we have, because of the benefits of veterinary science, we've been able to prolong their lives. They don't live in the wild.
Right.
We have brought them to places that they would never have been able to get, in the face of cancer, in the face of congenital conditions, heart problems,
mm-hmm.
You know, even orthopedic issues, you know, just slowing down, as you point out, and mobility issues, mm-hmm. getting up and down the stairs, getting, you know, getting around. So we've been able to take them to this place. And now we're going to be able to lead them along,
mm-hmm.
In the way that really makes good humane sense. But what I'll also say is that animals, as long as we're able to manage the pain, I do believe that an animal who can't get up anymore, an animal who is not eating as they normally would, they're not suffering. They don't, it may be hard for us to watch, but it's not always the worst thing. I mean, some animals can do just fine with being paralyzed. We're just not used to it. They can do fine in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
They can have, we use slings. We can feed them by hand. We can feed them ice cream by hand,
mm-hmm.
Instead of the same, you know, kibble or the same even raw food that they've been getting. For it's a matter of just changing, making modifications on a regular, very regular basis. And always in the face of excellent pain management.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's always what we say. We don't want them to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to consider, you know, animals are able to accept where they are right now.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily thinking, oh, I wish that I could get up and go out and play ball. You know, they don't, they're not. Now, if you perceive that they're looking at everybody around them, they're, you know, friends, their own dog friends and other people, they wish that they could get around them. That's your intuition and you make that judgment call. Mm-hmm. But it's a very, very sensitive and personal issue, and one that is important to support.
Mm-hmm. And I think for people too, you know, I know for me, it was my gut feeling,
mm-hmm.
was, and almost literally, I mean, that's where I was listening, I guess, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my head too, as well, and, you know, kind of with the information that I had, but really knowing what is the right thing for him,
mm-hmm.
Putting myself aside, really, but what, you know, is it his time, basically? Is he ready? Is it just his time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I fight it or not? We fight death so much in this society, you know, not right or wrong, sometimes we successfully fight death and people live many, many, many years, mm-hmm. or pets live, you know, have more years to live. But, you know, sometimes I think that we fight death when we really could accept that it is what mm-hmm. is happening, and it's, you know, just a matter of time and kind of letting go. But it is such a gut decision, and also too that for people to know that nobody knows their pet better than they do.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody. And to really try to listen to that intuition, and just try to be quiet and, mm-hmm. and you know, well, what do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
does it feel like it's time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of your emotions and sadness about it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not going to change whether it is or isn't. So.
Right. Yeah. That's supporting that relationship, that bond. We call it the human-animal bond, and it's been, you know, even researched in veterinary medicine and studied and really promoted, and that's kind of the basis of this human-animal bond movement, was the basis of the veterinary hospice, mm-hmm. because the relationship is so profound. It's so strong. It's just as important as any other loved one, you know, four-legged or two-legged, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, as you point out, that just being able to tune into that instinctive communication you have with your animal is key.
Mm-hmm. I felt like I was drawing upon, for me, maternal almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have children, but that was the... I felt the power that was coming and the wisdom
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that sort of, and the protectiveness too of like, oh, the one thing I know is that this dog is not going to suffer on my watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to just kind of draw from that in the saddest time that I've ever experienced.
Right.
Too.
Well, that's those are all such intense emotions. And did you have others that supported you through that period? Yeah.
A lot.
People you could turn to. Yeah. Having people that get it around you and knowing who those people are
mm-hmm.
versus those that don't get it.
It's just a dog. Yeah.
Right. That kind of an attitude. The veterinarians who are supportive of the cure, but then it's out of their comfort zone when you're at home with the animal and they're not in tune with you on a regular basis and saying, well, you know, I'm here for the euthanasia, but they don't necessarily know what to do between here and the end there. So that's what we're trying to do with veterinarians, is to really get this message out to them
mm-hmm.
that this is it's a client driven service, really. Good animal lovers need to go out and tell their veterinarians that they want this kind of an end for mm-hmm. their animals, that they are interested in that peace, that whole very special period that occurs between when we're no longer focused on the cure and before the euthanasia or mm-hmm. before the natural death.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more with Michelle Nichols, who's the co-founder of AHELP, which stands for Animal Hospice, End of Life and Palliative Care Project, and also the owner of Partners to the Bridge. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Well, you said this was your baby, the only child you had, your companion and your partner. How could I be mad? Your dog was always with you through thick and through thin. Soon I came to understand he was your only friend, but I still want to share his life.
Dr. Don's Automotive recommends servicing your air conditioning and cabin filters regularly to minimize noise for sound-sensitive dogs and to keep your puppy cool in the summer heat. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service, with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you. like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor. Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Real people, real life, real radio. Really? Alternative Talk 1150.
That's what you told me, though. Was here first. Yeah, you said the dog was here first. If you don't like it, you can leave.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. The Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care. All the Best Food, treats, and toys for your pet. Check out allthebestpetcare.com to see where all of their 9 locations are around Western Washington. We're back today talking with Michelle Nichols, who's the co-founder and director of Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project and also the owner of Partners to the Bridge. Welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you, Julie.
So we're talking about end of life in general, as far as the caring for our pets to provide them comfort and prevent suffering, and keep them comfortable, and also helping people, I imagine part of what you offer with in your consulting through Partners to the Bridge is perhaps helping people come to terms with the choice of when to euthanize, and because it can be hard to see when you're in it. And I think we fear making the wrong choice. Well, what if, I mean, I know for Chewy, it was like, you know, I had the choice to just pursue all of these things that could really potentially kill him. And, you know, the thought of him dying on an operating table and not in my arms was not happening. But, you know, it's a tough choice. And it's also very, I think, specific to what the circumstances are and what the pet's health issues are or what their disease is or, you know.
What their temperament is.
And then also all the human component of that as well. And our emotional needs too through that, and just kind of helping people kind of see that. So what are some really common fears that you see from people, and also kind of some really common tips that you find as sort of as you work with people or talk with more people, you know, the sort of the common experience? I imagine that knowing when to euthanize or that sort of decision is a tough one too. But what have you noticed as you've been in this field?
Well, one of the reasons why we had the workshop that was the beginning of A-Help back in September 09 or 10, I should say, last year, was really to increase awareness and let people know about their options for end-of-life caregiving. That's one of the biggest obstacles that I face with Partners to the Bridge is that people wait too long. They've been focused on the cure. They've been focused on really wanting to, you know, wanting to have good time together, but then not realizing that their animal friend is as close as he or she is to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've said before, they can be so stoic, mm-hmm. and they can do so much for us in kind of supporting us. We don't see what their true situation is, that they might be in more pain than we can imagine, that they might, that their quality of life just isn't as good as it could be. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm trying to do. That's what we're trying to do with A-Help, is to let people really start thinking about the end long before it's upon them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have thought it through, when you have a plan, and then you have a backup plan, then you have a backup to the backup plan,
mm-hmm.
Then they can proceed on with the end and the journey as it's going. So, for instance, I'll give you a very clear example. You have an animal, like, let's say, with, you know, an animal with hemangiosarcoma, like Chewy had. You know, we some people do chemo, you know, they do different kinds of treatments. Sometimes they don't do any of that, their animal is getting along fine day to day, eating, drinking, no mobility issues. But then one day they don't eat or they don't get up and they don't realize that they're really farther than they are. And that might be because there's internal bleeding, you see. And when at the point where there's internal bleeding is really so far gone to where it's too late to plan. And that's really what we hope, is when someone gets the diagnosis, they start thinking about that ending so that we can follow them every step of the way. And we can know that at that time, when that time happens, when they can't get up, or when they stop eating their favorite food,
mm-hmm.
now what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Who's going to support us? Who's going to help us support our dog? How are we going to change the food? Have they stopped eating because this really is their end? And being able to identify that, and then being able to tell them, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I want you to go on your way. And if going on your way means leaving now, then you have to mean that, because they're
right.
So in tune
right.
with the way we feel.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically my experience that you just described, pretty much, because I found out that he just crashed. He was a very strong, big, robust, big personality,
mm-hmm.
physically very strong, no signs of arthritis, you know, and he was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, you know, raw food and, you know, acupuncture, and, you know, just took the best care of him that I could. And then he crashed one day, and he didn't get up, and he was just like really no energy. And I was like, what is wrong with him? Is he sick? You know, and then he, kind of by the end of the day, he started kind of perking up, and I was like, God, you know, that was weird. And I think I had made an appointment to take him in, but he was like starting to feel better. And then he crashed again,
mm-hmm.
you know, within the next week. And right to the vet, or I think emergency vet time, mm-hmm. or right to our regular vet. And I found out that he was bleeding into his abdomen,
mm-hmm.
and that was 98% of the likely that that's what it was. Hemangiosarcoma, so common in large breeds like him. And it was like, okay, so what does this mean? It's going to happen again. It's only a matter of time before he crashes. They could do surgery. They could do chemo. But I was like, I don't want to put him through that,
mm-hmm.
just to give me 4 more months, maybe,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or do surgery that might kill him and then have it just come back in 6 months if they found the mass to remove,
mm-hmm.
you know, all this stuff, all these factors. I don't know what to do. Am I just giving up on him if I don't do the surgery?
Mm-hmm.
There was sort of some guilt
mm-hmm.
with that, even though I felt pretty strong with my gut instinct on that, there was still kind of some, gosh, you know, should I? What if he? Mm-hmm. What if there he was one of the 5% that, you know, and I could have had two more years with them or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's all this stuff. And then, but I think, you know, what you talk about having a plan, you know, my plan came pretty fast because the decision to euthanize him was made within, you know, 4 days or something like that.
Wow.
Because I knew that he was not going to suffer. And so, you know, I was like, okay, well, he's okay now. And so I think we made the appointment in a couple days. And his last morning, I think the appointment was at noon. We got up early. I gave him 2 marrow bones, which he loved, which made sense, especially bone marrow, because he was losing so much blood. And he ate his bones, which he had always loved to do. And then we went out, and he got to walk around in the sun. It was a gorgeous morning, and we had our other dogs. And, you know, he walked around and just checked things out. And, you know, I was just with him, of course, miserable. But and then we took him to the vet, and we actually brought our dogs in with us to witness him dying. And, you know, I held him as he went, and it was that. But, you know, it's the having that plan, as you say, like kind of setting it up. You know, for me, that was a way to honor his life. And I didn't want to wait for him to be in crisis. I mean, for him primarily, but also for me. And so to kind of protect them in that way, too. And that's so important in what you offer as far as preparing people, educating people, giving them that outside input, because it's so hard to know up from down when you're in the throes of that, you know, finding out that your dog is dying.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing, I think, is to get that objective opinion, because everybody who's right there is in love with the dog, loves you, and they want to be supportive of you. And even your vet, they have a loyalty to you as well.
Yeah.
So that's a difficult position to put them in.
Yeah. I imagine that vets would really, and we're going to take a quick break here, but that when you talk about the role of vets in this, and my vets were both the emergency vet and my vet were fabulous for me as far as being really supportive of my decision. And that was crucial for me, you know, going through that. It happened so fast. But I would imagine if I was a vet and having to interact with people around this decision, that vets would really welcome, I think, the support, you know, of their client getting that emotional support from, you know, almost like a team effort in that way. And so that then when they do, when it is time, if and when it comes to euthanasia, that they're, you know, that it's not as traumatic. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes talking more with Michelle Nichols, who's the co-founder and director of Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk 1150.
Like a bridge over troubled water, I will let.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We're back with Michelle Nichols, who's the co-founder and director of AHELP, Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project. Welcome back, Michelle.
Thank you.
So we're talking about a very important aspect of pet ownership, which is the death process and the end of life. And we've been sharing some stories. I've been talking a bit about my experience with Chewy, which was about 2 years ago. And there's another scenario that we want to speak about or speak to, which is when there is something that you can do to buy some time in a way that's not going to, where the animal won't be suffering. Maybe it's a surgery that can happen that will give you more time. And really the palliative care aspect of it and where that is where you hope to kind of come on to the picture. So talk a little bit about what that scenario might look like for somebody and also, you know, what you would offer.
Mm-hmm. So we all have our stories, right?
Yeah.
And so my story, the part two, was last year, exactly 1 year in July, when my girl Sora developed just some seizures and we couldn't figure out why. And then your story brought out, you know, you have a crash and then you have to go to the emergency clinic and you investigate what is it. And it's so traumatizing and so much to take in, especially when your animal's been relatively healthy. And really, I had only seen one seizure, one evidence that there was really anything wrong. We did a full workup for mm-hmm. it. And they said, oh, just come back in a couple of months. If she doesn't have a seizure in another couple months, then you're in the clear because a lot of dogs have seizures. When we went to emergency clinic, SVS, they did, you know, all the battery of tests, and we found out that indeed she had cancer. And it was my first experience with cancer mm-hmm. in one of my dogs. I'd had a lot of them, but not that. And it was very, very hard to take the idea of this could be the time I say goodbye. And I, unlike you, I wasn't ready to make that decision that she might be ready to go. I found out that there was treatment, surgery could be done, not inexpensively, but it would literally buy me time, as much as 6 months, 7-8 months at the max. But I was able to, with the with my wonderful family supporting me, able to do that. So, and we did. And it was not an easy decision, but all I said was, I just want to take her home. I want her to die at home, and I don't want her to die in this hospital. Mm-hmm. And if doing the surgery meant that I could take her home, then that was what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so we did. And she was over a week until we were able to bring her home. And then we found out that she was, and thought, okay, she's getting better, and it was all good. But then you get the results back and they're malignant, and you realize that, okay, indeed, that this is the direction where it's not going to be as long as I was hoping. A couple of years wasn't a possibility. I learned all that I could about her condition, brought her home, and that begun 6 months of very intensive caregiving with my family supporting me, with friends behind me, with my A-Help co-founders being wonderfully supportive. And that's when we realized, that really struck home for me, how important a community of like-minded souls is during that time. I was fortunate enough to have my mother, who is a human hospice nurse, grounding me in hospice philosophy, and also being able to come with me to appointments and say, these are the questions you should ask. You know, what about these medications, drugs that maybe the vets weren't accustomed to using, we were using, and they were at her, they were with her help. The nice thing is that we developed over that period of time, once we brought her home, a team of vets that were just stellar. They helped us in every way we needed. We had not just her regular vet, who at the time was a holistic or complementary vet, if I may, Dr. Lisa at the Animal Healing Center, and she was wonderful, Dr. Lisa Reising. And then we realized that we could go back to the critical care center and consult with them, and they were very supportive of hospice. They understood the concept. We could reach them 24/7 and ask any questions that came up. And that was huge in those times of panic. It's usually the middle of the night or on the weekends, right, that our animals have their problems. And if you have made a commitment to not want to go back to that emergency clinic in that panic and with that worry, and have them, you know, on the cold table where we, you know, as you point out, you know, not in surgery, not in the back room, they're going to die. You know, if you really are committed to having them at home with you, with your family, then you really have to put a lot of work into creating that team of providers that can support you as you support your animal with that, those palliative care measures, the pain management, getting around, feeding properly, adjusting to their every need, giving medications, you know, 24/7. It's all a lot of work. So some people, sometimes they don't want to make the euthanasia decision. And I've run into this thing where I've had to make a terrible decision about euthanasia so many times, and I don't want that. I would like a natural death for my animal. And this following your animal closer to a natural death, or up until the end when you make a planned decision for a planned euthanasia, that is not the easy way. It's very time consuming. And it's very, it can be very beautiful of an experience. It can be very memorable and life-changing. And so that's what we try and promote, is really that you make the decisions, but you plan for that ending. And I did, I was able to plan for the ending I wanted. And it was not without a rocky road along the way, but I learned so much. And that was Thor's legacy, is to and others will learn from her. And I learned from every case we're involved in.
Well, your website is ahelpproject.org. I've just posted a link to it on the Dog Talk Show Facebook fan page. And it's just a great, it's a great presence, you know, in the community to talk about, or to, you know, to provide people support at this time. There's also pet loss support groups. I went to one and interviewed somebody for after the pet dies, to help people and talk to other people who are going through the same thing. It was really powerful. And there's a new caregiver support group beginning in October. twice monthly drop-in group alternating between Seattle and the East Side. And you can go to farewellsbydiane.com for more information about that. And again, the website is ahelpproject.org mm-hmm. is Michelle's website. And one of the aspects of my grieving process with Chewy was that I, for a while, I don't remember how long, but for as long as I felt I needed to, I played him songs at the end of the show. And so Eric is going to cue up a song for me. And then real quick, Michelle, before you go, any last words?
Yes, I just wanted to let everyone in the out there know about the events that we have coming up with A Help Project. We have a speaker series that the first one, it kicks off on September 8th, Importance of Memorializing Your Animal Friend and Getting the Support You Deserve.
Mm-hmm.
We run those monthly, and also the Caregiver Support Group will be sponsoring beginning in October.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.